This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. And today we're going to look back at yet another win. Superb run we're on at the moment, and long may continue. At home to Chelsea last week, and we look ahead to the away match Saturday evening at Burnley. Triple header today, myself, Chris and Richie. Afternoon, boys.
How are we doing, lads? How are things?
All good, pal.
Absolutely good, is right. Three in a row, three clean sheets. Just pinch me, lads. It's just forming at the moment. Just the confidence. We spoke about it a few times. The confidence just like ripping through every single player, not just on the starting 11, but the squad. And then you can see when they come on that everyone's looking for the ball. So it's just a good time at the moment, so long may continue. We get into the usual, Rich, like we said last week, the shenanigans at the start when the team news comes out. But it wasn't bad this week because we're delighted to see James Garner back in. He just brings that like solidity to the midfield, like a calmness.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see him come back so quickly after a couple of days out. But yeah, I think it's just his football ability, his brain, he, as you said, a bit of calmness, but he doesn't panic things, you know, just looks to do it simple. But yeah, I think it was good as well, I suppose, given the way the game panned out, and I suppose that Gannon's going to be out, that he was back in straight away, and just kind of helps to keep things kind of, I suppose, when you have a small squad, you can't afford to be losing fellas, and especially fellas who've been so influential. And he was, I suppose, so good against Forest. It was a pity to lose him against Newcastle, you know, because you don't want him to dip out of that vein of form that you're in, you know. And if you miss a couple of games and then you sit out, it's hard to kind of get back in. And we're all saying, oh, don't change it. So it was good to see him come back in. And, you know, a tough game to come in because I suppose they were okay in midfield. You know, they have 200 million players in there. You know, you know, it's a tough ask to be coming back into. But yeah, just look, he's going to grow into that role, you know, the longer he's there. And I think even if he goes through a bad spell at some stage throughout the season, we just need to stick with him, give him the time, give him the support to build and to become a better player because he has it in him.
I think he's made that role as well, Chris, to be honest, because the compliment you can give him, the best one, is that when he's missing, there's no one that can quite do with the work rate and the, not just that, but the passing ability that he has. He can just see a ball and then not just see it, he can execute it.
I think it was something we've lacked, excuse me, voice, the throat is at me, but I think we've lacked composure in pretty much all aspects of the game for a fair while. You know, we don't have composure, but I think for a young lad of 21, 22, he just brings that bit of composure in the middle of the park. We know he has a good delivery on him. He can play a good forward pass, but also when the game needs to be slowed down, he knows when to just take the sting out of things and simplify it. I think everyone needs players on their team. It can't all be fancy stuff all the time. Having players which just does the simple things well, the basics well at the right time. So I think, you know, it goes a long way. And, you know, he's just having someone decent in beside him. I think he complements Ghana and Onana quite well. We've actually stumbled across a bit of a midfield pairing now, especially with Onana. We've a bit more athleticism there. They can both go forward, they can both defend, and they both have a relatively good passing range. So they complement each other quite well. I thought in the first half against Chelsea, I think we were overrun. I don't think anybody really stood out. Nobody played really well, but nobody was poor. I just thought we looked a little bit leggy in the first half, and I thought Gallagher kind of ran through us in a midfield affair a couple of times, and Fernandez for them, thought they gave us a bit of trouble in midfield. But I thought in the second half, and Onana came on, we got a foothold a little bit more, and you know, we looked a lot better. But it's good to have these options in the team, whereas the team picked itself for how many seasons we just had the same players week in, week out, regardless of whether they're in poor form or good form. And there's just that bit of competition there now as well. It's bringing the best out of, I think, all the players. We actually do have some options coming off the bench to change things. And it's just keeping everybody on their toes, and they're not just being kept in the team. If they're going through a poor vein of form, it's going to make everyone have to work harder in training day to day, give 100% when they're on the pitch. And obviously the run we're on as well, like, it's a confidence game. Seeing these players playing with confidence, they're going to express themselves more, they're going to take that risk, and they're just going to, you know, play with less fear and take on teams like Newcastle or Chelsea, which, if you had said we'd get 4 points from that, I would have taken a hand off it. So to get 2 points, to get 2 wins and 6 points is a fantastic return.
Yeah, I think that the main thing about this for me, Rich, and the run we've been on, it's just the back four are like solid as a rock. I mean, and it gives us a springboard for the likes of Ghana or Onana or Garner, Harrison, whatever, and McNeil probably more so, just to get on the ball and go forward, because they kind of know that it's solid enough at the back, and they have that kind of safety net, knowing that if they do fuck up and lose the ball, that the back four lads will just mop it up.
Yeah, and it all ties in together. It's having that, I suppose, that confidence, that belief that, right, I know that they're behind me to cover. But I think just winning games brings that little bit more belief. You know what, I'll try this and we can see what we can go. You're playing with a bit more freedom. Whereas, I suppose, normally for the last couple of years, it's been, our momentum has been negative and we'd lose one or two and next thing we'd go on a slide where thankfully it's the other side of the coin and we're winning. And now you say, geez, you can't see where the next defeat is coming from.
But, oh, slow, you know, up, slow up.
but it's you know, when you're going, you're saying Newcastle, Chelsea, you know, and everything has been thrown. Oh, Forest on a bad run. Newcastle are plagued with injuries. Chelsea aren't there. Jeez, they can't all be bad sides. You know, we have to take some bit of credit for what we're doing and not conceding a goal in it as well. So you know, I think it's just, Chris mentioned, there's confidence, there's momentum, and it's just kind of having the, I suppose, the mentality has changed as well, that they believe in what they're doing as well. There's a lot of trust in it. And I think that the side, the squad, it seems very tight-knit now. I think when you see the celebrations for the goal, you know, Dovin obviously maybe a slight exception given his age and everything around it, but you can just see, you know, it's all in, you know, it's a complete team effort, and it kind of reflects what's going on. You know, it's not just one or two guys, you know, that it's all in, and It's a delight to be watching for a change, you know. Long may it last.
We spoke last week, Chris, actually, about, and someone mentioned again on Sunday, that all the protests that are going on, and listen, I think everybody is behind it. Fans, players, manager, the club. But the protests kind of, for the United game, took away from the actual match itself, and people are more focused on the everything around the game rather than the game itself, and it bled into the game, like the match when it started. There was none of that now on Sunday against Chelsea. We're just on the same page from the start, just bang, and right onto our job.
Yeah, maybe so. I went down for the United game, for the march up and all that, and I was knackered by the end of it. Could have had a kip, and I just think that was just one of those freak results that tend to happen all too often, where a goal like that, just, you know, he'll never score a goal like that again. And United have been toured it probably since then with results they've had, and you're like, how did we lose that? Even if we had gotten back to 1-1 in the first half there, we had enough chances, I think we probably would have turned the tables and we might have got the better of them, but it was just one of them things. But yeah, look, we're just going about our business now. I think Dyche has managed the situation really well, and you know, he has his flaws, absolutely he does. And, you know, we've all questioned him at times in the subs and all this kind of stuff, but he's probably the right man at the right time for us. He has a lot of characteristics which I think we did quite well under Moyes. He understands the fan base and kind of the style of football we want to see. He doesn't get too high or too low. He just kind of takes things game by game, and it is what it is, and doesn't, fairness to me, doesn't whinge about the situation. He says, right, lads, shit happens, let's get on with it. So, you know, he's instilling a really good mentality. It seems like just a normal working class fella that just has strong work ethic, strong values. He's big on just honesty and respect. And, you know, on a human level, I think players can relate to that, instead of you pulling the wool over their eyes and talking crap in the media. You know, he's a straight talker. You know what he expects. You know the standards and the, you know, the level of work and discipline and all that kind of stuff he expects. And I don't think that's a whole lot to ask, to be honest with you. And it just suits us. It just suits us, really. You know, all we've ever asked as a team is, as a fan base, is just give 100%. Leave everything out on the pitch for us. We're going to come up against better teams that are expensively assembled, Man City's, the likes, that are going to beat us. You know, but once we leave it all out there and we give 100%, because we're working class fans, that's the minimum we expect. Just give everything for the short. If we fall up short, well, then we can't ask for any more than that. It is what it is. And, you know, too many games over the last couple of years, we've been on the podcast here saying they're jogging around, they're not bothering. We can see the goal and the heads are going. They don't, you know, too many mercenaries, I guess, that just weren't willing to, you know, when going got tough, didn't want to know. But I think we've assembled a nicely balanced squad now where everybody is buying into it. Everyone is working hard. Quality is there in patches. But, you know, I think a player like Harrison is a prime example of that. He just doesn't stop running. He doesn't stop pressing. He's up, he's down, he's up and down. He can be frustrating at times because the quality is not always there. We break away a few times and he runs into trouble and he overruns it when maybe he could do certain things better. But he's getting himself into those positions repeatedly. He's working his balls off, Newcastle especially, to be able to press that late in the game. And, you know, because of him, we got two goals. McNeil on the other side. So every Decore, they're running. You know, it's just great. Everybody's just working their nuts off. And we definitely have enough in us. I mean, with those 10 points, we're 4 points off fifth. There's enough quality in there. And we always said it. You don't have to be the best team in the world. But if you do the basics well, you're hard to beat. You know, you're tight-knit. You're compact. You have a bit about you on the break. You're well-organized. You don't have to have an awful lot to get up that table, you know. So we seem to be on that trajectory now. We definitely have enough about us, getting a bit of luck with injuries and stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff, suspensions, to definitely be able to be pushing top half of the league. So, I mean, the hope would be with the appeal that we will get at least half. We should get all our points back. It's a first, but minimum get 5 of them back. And we should be 14 points out of the drop zone. It shouldn't even be a consideration. We should be looking, right, let's kick on. Let's go and beat Burnley. Let's get closer to those European places. Maybe try to get one or two in January and kick on. But it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I just on that, I think the talk the last couple of days is that the appeal will be heard in January, and then hopefully a decision either February or March. Again, it's just rumour, nothing official. Think of last week as well, not just last week, last kind of few weeks, I spoke about the possession. We don't mind giving up possession, and it was the same again. 28% for us, 72% for them. But like you said last week, the only stat that matters, well, obviously the goals, but like we'd more shots on target than them. So it's obviously the way we're going to play a game. Like just let them have the ball.
Yeah, 100%. And I know kind of first half we're saying, right, that, you know, they came onto us quite a bit. But ultimately, I didn't feel like they created any big chances. They had a couple of shots from range, you know, and you take, you know, if you're shooting from 20 odd yards out, it's going to take something special to beat Pickford. Yeah, you don't want it to be lining up and just rattling it. But I think we have to have, I don't know, I suppose maybe it's a belief in the system that we're playing. So, right, if you want to shoot from there and not try and not allowing you to work it into the goal and create really kind of open chances within the box and scorable areas. So I think that they understand what they're doing. And I think it's a buy-in from everyone that they know the game plan, they know the setup, they know the structure. And it's just that, you know, everyone is on the same page, and it's not about kind of just having the ball for the sake of it. It's having it and putting it into dangerous areas as quick as possible, you know, because it's effective for what we have. As I said, look, we know we have some quality, but in time, it's a case of walking before we can run. We don't need to be playing teams off the park. It's about being effective in the right areas. So I think whether he stumbled across it or it's been a tactic to say, right, that look, this is how I want to play. It's working. I think, you know, you think back to Brighton last year as well, you know, on the break, just getting results from it. And I think as well, I suppose it was a different type of game, when you think of, I suppose, the games that we've had at home, Wolves, Forest, or Wolves, Fulham, those games where we had bucket loads of chances and didn't convert them, we only had pretty much those two chances and maybe Harrison's half chance the weekend as well.
It was just wide, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was about being
a lot of good shot, didn't he?
It was about being more clinical with the chances that we got that we haven't been, which was really encouraging to see, because that it all, for me, it all just kind of leads to belief. And you know, once things kind of, once you get on a bit of a roll, you think things are more likely to fall. Fellas are a little bit more confident in front of it. They're not, you know, snatching at chances or anything like that. So yeah, for me, possession, don't really care. You know, I think we're having plenty shots. No, you don't want to be, you know, 80% against Brighton was probably the extreme, but again, we were comfortable in our, you know, it took a fluke of a goal to undo us. So yeah, I it doesn't bother me in the slightest what we do once we're kind of effective with the ball that we have.
Yeah, I think the thing for me, Chris, though, is that giving away all this possession, it's fine when we score first. It's when the other team score first that we need to change it up. And I don't think we have that, not in us, but I don't think we have that sus yet. So I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but the first goal is vitally important for the type of game that he's playing.
You're bang on. And I was just thinking that as Richie was talking, you know, the last three games, it's no coincidence we've won when we scored first. And I don't think we've lost when we scored first. And I don't think we've won when we've conceded first. I don't know if that's right or not, but it's a bit of a cliche. It goes without saying, first goal is important. But I mean, you are right. We tend to play as the counter-attacking team for the most part. And when you're going behind and you're chasing the game, I think it forces us to be a bit more tactical and probably have to have a bit more impetus to break the other team down. And then maybe we tend to lose our shape and force the issue a bit and leave ourselves suspect to being countered on, you know. So it's hard to play as your wayside when you're 1-0 down and you're chasing the game. So yeah, you're bang on. It makes perfect sense. We're just not at that stage yet, I guess, in our development or wherever he wants us to go, where if we go a goal or two down, we'll be able to kind of create enough to be able, you know, within our structure and have the quality to break teams down and overturn it, you know. Now and again we might, you know, but for the most part, yeah, we need to kind of score first, sit in and then play on the break. But one thing that has impressed me, and I think we've kind of not mocked it, but there's been a lot of talk about at the start of the season, especially about being dice fit. And I think now we're starting to see it paying dividends. People can talk about Newcastle being out on the feet or Chelsea or whatever, but in previous seasons, we've looked out on our feet after an hour and we've lost a lot of games later on. Now it's actually the other way around. We're actually finishing games strong. Other teams they look tired and they look lethargic and fatigued, and we're still going 100 miles an hour. We're still pressing in their face. We're still creating. We're getting late goals. So I think all the work that he's done early on through pre-season, even at the start of the season, we're starting to probably see that pay off a little bit more now. Yeah. And it's definitely helped with having consistency in team selection. You know, as Richard rightly said, or yourself said a while ago, about the defence has picked itself. Mikulenko has been outstanding. Fair play to him all season. He's been really, really good. The two lads at centre-back. Tarkowski has a momentary lapse in him now and again, but the two of them have been absolutely solid, him and Brantley. I think Ashley Young has been, he's done all right. He's trying, but he's a weak link. And look, the guy is 38 or whatever. It's not his fault. He gives us all when he's out there. But I mean, he's coming up against wingers 10 years younger than Mundrick and all, and players like that. He has his work cut out for him, especially the way we play. We try and play narrow, and then we leave ourselves open to diagonal. So when he's getting caught one-on-one, it's very hard, you know, for him to be able to match players for pace and stuff. So I think a lot of teams are targeting us there. But, you know, hopefully Coleman, now he's not available for Burnley, he'll come back into the fold. I thought Patterson done well in stages against Chelsea. I thought he got beaten once or twice, but for the most part, I thought he nullified Mundrick for, you know, the majority of the time he was on the pitch. So we definitely have options there in that area as well at right back. So, but just that continuation, that consistent team selection, you can develop that understanding of each other's roles, where you're going to be, and the partnerships throughout the team. And you just know each other's games, the runs Calvert-Lewin's going to make. We started trying that quick ball around the bend an awful lot now, for even for Beto's goal. But we're starting to do that now, try and turn back the front very quick, get the ball in around the corner and that. So we're all kind of on the same page. It's all coming together. And I think it's really important for us with the small squad we have to, we need a little bit of luck as well to, consistency to not get too many injuries and stuff. But no, it's just nice to come on and be positive, because it's been a hard last couple of years coming on here. Sometimes you don't want to do it. You probably, I have job, I have to walk the dog, I can't do it. You do anything to have to talk about it, Once the game is over and you get beat, you're like, oh, don't want to review it. You just want to block yourself off from the world and not look at Match of the Day or Sky or Twitter or anything. But it's nice now things have turned around at the moment to be able to come on and actually just enjoy watching Everton, enjoy supporting Everton, enjoy being at Goodison, enjoy the atmosphere. And unfortunately, wasn't at the last couple of games, but it's one of the last seasons we're going to play at Goodison, probably next season. And it'll be gone before we know it. So to see it bouncing like it has been against Newcastle and Chelsea, there's nowhere like it in the league when it's on its day. It's unrivaled. And the whole ground, we shall not be moved. It's just to get that feeling again, the magic of Goodison. Really, hopefully we can continue this upward trajectory and maybe a cheeky little League Cup just to sign her off in style. You never know.
This is nice. I'll have a point or whatever you say we're drinking today.
Fucking
But just on
legend,
that
Joe.
point, actually, just on that point the other day, I mentioned that I hope you bring like the places like bounce. It was just like you said, there's nothing like it, and the noise and just smiles on faces and everything. But I just hope that we can replicate that when we move to Bramley Moordock. I know the proximity of the fans would help that, but I just really hope we bring that noise with us, because obviously it'd be hard to leave Goodison, but it'll be made harder if we don't replicate the feeling and the hostility. That's the thing. Like, you want teams to obviously, because the brand new stadium, they're gonna like coming to it, but you don't want to enjoy the football and the game and the match, and we just need to like bottle that and bring it with. I know we will, but it's just that's one thing we're very, very wary of the move to the new stadium, is the atmosphere and all that kind of hostility that Gunnison brings at the moment. Yeah, we just spoke about Mikulenko, Richie, but he's just, I think he's in the form of his life, to be honest. And he came out there last week and said he went through a bit of a rough time off the pitch, obviously with everything that's going on in Ukraine. Family members are over there, so put like the monkey's off his back. Now, the chap is just, he's just on fire. He really, really is. And probably knocking the door now for player of the season.
Yeah, I mean, so far his consistency levels have gone up dramatically. Like every game, before you kind of say he's a weak link, and if there's someone else there, he wasn't given enough going forward. Now he's chipped in with a couple of goals, but he seems to be kind of getting himself up. He's supporting McNeil. They're just starting to get that understanding between the two of them. But I think for Jules, people trying to take him on, like he is just brilliant at it. Like, he's not afraid to go head to head with anyone. Like, and he's come up against a lot of top wingers, in the league already this season. And you look at during the week, and was Gordon on him and was moved to the other side to try to get a little bit more out of him. He Mudryk on the weekend, he's been up against Salah, and he's more than held his own in them all. I think that the improvements that we've seen this season, and look, it's a credit to him, but I think it's also a credit to the coaching side that they've worked with him, figured out what it is. And look, he has obviously had a lot going on off the pitch, but I think that he said that he was carrying a knock for a while with his hips or something there recently as well. So still young, so it's just, I think it's taken him a while to kind of get to the level that it's at. But really, really surprised, because I didn't think he had it in him, to be honest, And yeah, it's fantastic, because you say, right, however long and whatever we spent on him, but playing like he is now, you say that's the answer there, left back for for a number of years to come. You know, he's been excellent, you know, so can't fault him at all.
Yeah, I think the key to his form is that he's doing his defensive work first, and that's the base level. And anything else on top of that, after the two goals he scored, but anything else is kind of the icing on the cake. But he's doing the defensive stuff right and proper, and no one is getting past him.
No, I think he's always been a relatively decent like one-to-one defender, but you know, coming from wherever, Ukraine or the Russian League, wherever we got him from, to the Premier League, physically that's a year, and he's just, you know, he's slight enough, I guess. So I mean, he'd be on his own personal training program to put on a bit more mass, maybe a bit more size, and physically be able for the demands of the league as well. Like, you know, young lads, that's all part of the development, as well as the quality and technical side. There's a physical aspect to it as well, you know, and being able to put on another couple of kilos and muscle and strength, and have the agility and have the power and have the speed to be able to run, you know what I mean, to compensate for all that, as well as the technical stuff. And look, obviously, the longer you're here, they're coached a certain way into, obviously, the overall shape and system of the team. McNeil works very hard in front of him as well, which helps. It's a good partnership up that side, like you mentioned. So he knows when to overlap. McNeil comes back and doubles up, and you know, when needs be. So I think when you're in a good, settled team where everybody's on the same page, you make each other look better. And that's not taking that away from him, but you know, there was a few times against Chelsea there, he got body on the line, he got a block in, he shepherded the ball out a few times. His reading of the game has really improved as well. He's not one to make any rash challenges or anything, you know. And by all accounts, he's a real quiet enough kind of guy as well. He just throws a tackle in, gets up and has a little smirk on his face. You cannot like him, you know. But he doesn't demand a few words. But, you know, as we see, he's only, was he 22 or something? So, I mean, the way he's come on now, I'm sure Patterson is going to do the same thing. And
yeah,
could have fullbacks there. Like, Patterson's thing is going forward. He's not bad carrying the ball and getting across into the box. It's his defensive position in which you'll be worried. He's a bit naive at times. His reading of the game, maybe he'll get caught out of position now and again. But, I mean, coaching staff are, you know, by going looking at Mikulenko and, again, like players like Garner and stuff that they've developed, you know, there's definitely a chance for younger lads like Patterson to come into their own over the next, you know, few months and into the couple of seasons. Like, there's a good nucleus there. It's a young enough side. Like, Pickford's still young for keeper. You know, mid-late 20s. Mikulenko. Brantwaite's only a young lad. Patterson. Jimmy Garner. Onana's a young lad. 21, whatever he is. Calvert-Lewin's still only in his 26. McNeil's only 22, 23. You know, so there's definitely, I don't know if Dobbin will, you know, breakthrough. We'll probably get to that as well. But just good nucleus of young lads there that could really develop together over the next couple of seasons, and we can just add that extra bit of quality and cover in certain positions to be able to, you know, just keep pushing forward, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Keeping how do these lads, for me, is, well, it's always been a worry where if someone comes in, especially talking about Brantwaite, all this noise about Spurs and all this crap, but I think it's time that we just start to hold on to players like this and develop with us, not go off and develop with someone else and become better players with other teams. Stay with us and bring us forward as well as themselves. I know players, they want to win things, and if they don't get a sniff after a couple of seasons, they want to look elsewhere. But I just, especially with the new stadium coming up, I think there's a carrot there for the likes of these young lads to stay for a couple of seasons and see how it pans out. But maybe that's just romantic thinking on my side. But
I think until the ownership is sorted, there's always going to be those kind of rumours around it, because we're an easy target over finances, over this, and oh, Everton are struggling and they're going into administration. They need to sell their top players because papers want to sell, people want to click on sites, and basically, so we're an easy target at the minute. And I think a lot of it is around that. I mean, Brantwaite just signed a new 5-year contract weeks ago. So I'd be very, very surprised if we were kind of forced into selling him, and at least it would be on our terms But
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think it's a lot of it is just we're an easy target at the minute.
Yeah, I think so. And then silly season's about to start now in a couple of weeks with the January transfer window. So all the bullshit will come out. Right, we're just going into the goals now to finish off. Spoke a few times, Rich, about Decore. Like he's kind of made that role, like the link between DCL and the midfield. That's his game now. That's his gig, and it just proved, like, when the ball come back from, I thought Dominic Calvert-Lewin was unlucky actually not to score, but when it came back to him, he was first on the scene, bang back at the net, and just like I said, that's his gig now. Just mopping that up that Dominic Calvert-Lewin can't.
And just do it all the first time. If
Yes,
he's
that's it. Yeah, don't
if he's
think about it. Yeah, just
if he's time to think about it, it could end up anywhere. Yeah, no, again, brilliant finish. But I think McNeil was obviously instrumental in it. You know,
yeah,
taking it on another fella would have gone down when Gallagher pulled him back and looked for the easy free kick, but he kept going. He saw the gap, but the ball was pinpoint. You know, you think back to Rodriguez placing balls. I thought the weight on it. Perfectly into the run. It was perfect, you know. And fair play to Calvert-Lewin. He put himself in there, you know. Maybe could have pulled it away, but just again, Decore just there, like, you know. And the return that we're getting from him, you know, because he's a good player. He's a good worker, but he has his limitations as well. Let's not get carried away with it, you know. But I tell you what he's getting back out of him, what we're getting back from him is phenomenal. I think, you know,
Yeah, I
he.
think that's it. Sorry, go on.
No.
Yeah, that's a thing you spoke earlier, Chris, about fitness levels. And I don't think anyone epitomizes it more than the Corey. The chap just runs all day. Was it not him and McNeil that were always a Wobbly at the time? But I'm sure Decore wasn't too far off the top of the bleep test anyway. We all know he has an engine in him, and you know, he's so weird at times. Technically, he does some mental things, like as Rich said there. I mean, he's give him the ball on the volley and he put it in the top end, you know. But asking to pass the ball 5 yards, he's just kicks it out. He's insane, like, can't make the chap out at all. But we're just not the same team when he's missing. He's such an important clog piece of the puzzle for us, even in terms of, I think, our overall shape. As you know, in both as an attack and as a defensive unit, he just covers so much ground. He can run all day, especially when you're playing teams that you would deem superior. Chelsea there, for example, where they can pass you to death at times and they just tire you out. And then you start to kind of, you can't cover the ground as quick and you leave some gaps and they end up just breaking you down eventually and getting in. But like to the car race, just minute one to minute 90, he's non-stop up and down. And you know, if we want to play this high pressing game, he's so important because he can press really high, but even if the ball is were played through or whatever, he can get back into defensive shape quite quickly, you know. So that, you know, just so much in that respect. But he just has that bit of understanding now with Calvert-Lewin. It doesn't always come off, but even when we play a direct ball, you often see Decore running in behind now, trying to pick Oh, the beyond flick
them,
on.
yeah.
And I think at times we've been guilty of not really giving. I know Calvert-Lewin last season for the majority wasn't there, and we had players filling in, but for a while now, I think one of our issues has been not just having that focal point, but not having enough bodies in and around them. So even if we were winning the ball, there was no one to pick up the second ball, and the ball was just coming straight back at us, and we were back under pressure. So at least now, like with Dom, he's going to win a majority of his duels. He's going to hold the ball up or whatever, get the ball on the turn or place the ball down the corner. But we just have so many more options there. And then with Decore running in behind them or playing off them, they're just a headache for defenders. They just occupy defense. Even if they're not doing anything, defenders can't switch off for a minute, which is, that's something to be said as well, you know, because I think teams have had it too easy against us when we've had players like Maupay and Damari Gray up front that are just lightweight. They can bully, you know, they're not going to do anything from a physical perspective. So, you know, you have to hand it to him. His goal scoring record, he just keeps popping up in the right areas. And he's put some great finishes in. And we said about confidence, he just seems to be enjoying his football. He seems to be really, really loving it there. He's pumping the chest and grabbing the badge and that. He's a passionate guy, and just hope he just keeps on going the way he is. He should have more confidence now than he has had at any point in his career. He's probably playing the best football of his career now, consistently, I'd say, you know. But and the thing about him is he's rarely injured. He's just one of those guys. He's an athlete, you know. He could do 1,500 meters probably after playing a 90-minute game. He could run all day. But again, he just fits the whole thing in terms of the work ethic and the mentality and, you know, the resilience. He doesn't drop the head. He keeps going. He make a mistake, he'll keep at it. If he misses, he's back in there again. And that's just what you want to see.
Again, just the fitness levels of them. Not the same, but a lot of the team now. I remember the famous clip with Sean Dyche's first week, and he was doing the beep test, and the lads were dropping like flies. They're saying, "What the fuck is going on here?" But it's coming to fruition now. You can see it because, like, players are lasting like the full 90 or 100 minutes, depending on what referee have. Actually, I just want to speak about referees. I was kind of glad to see Michael Oliver being ref, but he was absolutely disgraceful on Sunday. It was probably the worst match I've ever seen him referee. And people around me said, "Oh, just to do with the Premier League." Jesus, genuinely hope not, because between him and Anthony Taylor, I think they're supposed to be the best refs in the league. But he had an absolute disgrace of a game. And I just hope the fuck there's no hidden agenda or ulterior motive, because he was disgraceful on Sunday. Some of the decisions were just mind-boggling. But again, I don't want to waste time talking about referees. I just wanted to make that point because it was in my head from last Sunday. Just on the second goal, Rich, delighted for Lewis Dobbin. I can see it. And you mentioned it earlier that Dice, I think it was Chris actually said, about celebration, and Dyche come out and says, "That's what you want to see. Someone just genuinely delighted for scoring and no dancing and any of that other nonsense." But I mean, what a hit by the umpire. I mean, and the fact that there's a crowd around it, but he just kept eyeing the ball, and to keep it down, that was the key.
Oh yeah, I mean, made it sweet, perfect, but
Oh.
but found himself a pocket of space, fell to him. Got to give credit as well to Garner for the ball. Keeper wasn't long on the pitch, didn't have a whole lot of touches, and put it right in underneath him. Really pressurized him, and he just kind of punched straight out to him. To put the ball into that position was really good. But all about Dobbin, like it was perfect. I mean, what a way to open your account, and you could just see that delirium on his face. Like, didn't know where to run, just took off, nearly blew an hand out of it.
Actually,
But
hadn't had a chance to get a celebration going.
yeah, it was brilliant. I think we were all kind of caught up in the moment of it, but that's what it's all about. Like, when you see what it means, and I suppose just sealing the win as well, the timing of it, to get it into injury time, fantastic for him. And I think, yes, he's kind of been a bit part kind of throughout the season, but I think at the start of the season, I don't think there's too many of us after coming back from Derby would have said, oh, he's the one that's going to make the breakthrough, when you had Tom Cannon and you had other lads who were kind of saying, oh yeah, these are the fellas, Ellis Sims, these are the fellas who are going to be, who are going to help us. So all credit to him. Like, he put his head down in pre-season, gave himself an opportunity, and got his reward on Sunday. And hopefully that there's a few more of them to come before the season is out.
Yeah, that's a thing as well. Like, he hasn't featured that much lately, to be honest. I think Dyche is throwing on Danjuma, and I don't think he's worked out at all. It's just, I don't think he fancies it, to be honest. He doesn't fancy this hard work, and maybe that's why he's not getting the look in. So I think Chris Dobbin will be his go-to man now.
Yeah, maybe. But that'll bring him on the world of good. The confidence he'll get from that, even going into training now, he'll have a spring in his step, and he'll feel like he belongs at that level, which is a big thing, having that confidence, and that backing from your teammates as well is a huge thing. So absolutely. Like, he probably get a run out in the League Cup game, maybe. But while McNeil and Harrison are playing so well, he is always going to be a sub. But again, we're talking about options. It's just great to have someone off the bench that could possibly change a game or make an impact. You know, he'll have the bit between his teeth now. And, you know, just he's young, he's energetic. He, when you're that age, you don't have any fear. You just go out and just play football. You know, you know, if you're him, perfect script against Chelsea. 7 minutes has just gone up. And as a fan, you're still looking, you're still bleeding behind the couch and on the edge of your seat. And you're, oh, God, these are all over us here. 7 minutes, and you're at a corner, and you're like, please. And what a finish. Brilliant finish. Bang, back of the net. It's just great. And it was just like a wave of relief off everyone's shoulders, and you could just enjoy the last year. You didn't want the whistle to go, then you're like, get on another.
Oh,
field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Play on there, Michael. Sorry for all I said there.
But you're right. Yeah, he obviously doesn't fancy Dan Juma. I just don't think he's willing to do the work rate Dan Juma that McNeil is and Harrison is on the flanks. And I think, you know, he did get a goal and a couple of goals in the League Cup, and he scored at Sheffield United. But his output, even when he's been in good areas in the final third, I think his decision making has been quite poor when he has featured, and we were expecting a lot better from him. So I think it's a bit evident now by now that Deutsch doesn't really fancy him. So. But we're tight bodies, so I'd imagine he'll just be held on to for the rest of the season. Just hope with Dobbin that it doesn't turn out to be like a flash in the pan, like Sims' goal against Chelsea. And then, but I think he does have a little bit more about him. He has pace, is an awful lot. He has a good bit of pace, Dobbin, and a bit of trickery about him. And I think, you know, if anybody is going to, you know, get a place in the team, it is going to be him. But he needs to develop. He's by no means a finished article. He's a lot to do in terms of, you know, all aspects of his game, really. And I think Deutsch puts players in at the right time when he knows, he sees them every day in training as well. So obviously he liked what he saw from Dobbin, and he felt that he was what we needed at the time. But if he's willing to put in the hard yards and do the grafting and do the running, and he has that bit of quality, well then, just keep doing what you're doing and training day to day, and force yourself into the manager's plans. And when you get a chance to get on the pitch and you know, you get a cameo like that, well, then that's, you know, that's the way to show what you're made of.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's similar with Beto. I think it's key for them and of course the team that when they get a chance to take it. And obviously Beto scored against Newcastle and Dobbin the weekend, so their confidence will be up, and they'll be not knocking on the door, but they'll be saying, listen, if you need to use me, just I'm here and I can do it, and I'm not just getting on for the sake of like numbers or fresh legs. I can do a job. So I think that's key for, like I said, both them and the club itself. Right, we'll just finish up now with predictions for Burnley. I know Rich, you can see Brantway, he was devastated when he got that yellow card, which I didn't think, again, the referee was fucking disgraceful. But he's out, and Garner is out as well. He picked up his fifth yellow, so he'll have to kind of shut whatever about Garner. Onana can come in there and sit in, but he's going to have to shuffle that back four, which you said has been solid as a rock. So I don't even know who comes in. It's obviously probably Godfrey or Keane. I don't know. That's the one worry for me, was that he would sit in there instead of Brantway.
Yeah, well, Keane was injured the weekend. I think he was only just back training today. So going on that, you know, it more than likely be Godfrey. But to be honest on it, he's been on four bookings for quite some time. If you're to pick a game out of what we have kind of coming up, you know, it's probably the one to pick. You know, obviously Fulham, you say it's a cup game and you could miss that, but I think it's a massive opportunity for you. So again, I suppose Ghana probably may have given him the option to sit it out anyway with Onana back being fit again. So probably I won't say a massive loss, but again, it's probably picking a good game for it to happen. So, yeah, and obviously I think Patterson will come in for the two, Coleman and Young are younger both injured. So, yeah, I presume it's just a straight pick between Godfrey and Keane and whoever's fit. But I think it'll be tougher than we expect. You know, I think once we don't get carried away, we don't get complacent with the run we've been on. You know, we got to keep our work ethic. Burnley have kind of picked up a couple of results, but they're poor. They're not kind of settling the way they want, but they've kind of improved a little bit in the last couple of games, you know, and they've got a win and a draw in the last three. But you just think again, get the first goal. I think they're struggling a bit in front of goals. They're kind of in games a bit, but I think if we get the first one, we should go on and win it. I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay, Chris.
I just can't see us winning four games in a row in the league. It's fucking unheard of. It's not going to be the greatest spectacle, one would imagine. I'm going to go 1-1. I think as much as I want to win, I think it's just important we don't lose it. We just need to keep them at arm's length, you know. Don't let them gain ground on us whatsoever. You know, we're going to, as much as it's great beating your Chelsea's and Newcastle's, and we're still going to be, unfortunately, the situation we're in, the results against the teams around us and below us are so important. You know, you could have a 6-point swing there depending on where the game goes. So I think I'll go for a draw, but if we win, I think we're safe, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm going to go. It's similar to the Forest game a couple of weeks ago. They're not playing poor, but they're low on confidence. And Chris is right. Like we said earlier, I think the first goal, if we get the first goal, I think we can go on and just dominate the game. And they don't have much, to be honest. I think maybe Jay Rodriguez, they'll hoof the ball up to him. I just think we'll have enough in the tank to do. So I'm going to go 2-0 Everton. And four clean sheets, four wins. That's it. That's blowing up now.
Look, it could suit us. You know, we played them in the League Cup and we weren't great, to be honest. We got a few goals in the second half, but the company has them playing possession football. They don't really have the quality players to, you know, play that kind of style of football week in, week out in the Premier League against teams that are probably superior to them.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it probably on paper suits us to let them have the ball, like you were saying earlier. We're suited to just letting them go from side to side. And if we get our press right, they're poor defensively. You know, there's a lot of mistakes there and they do concede a good few goals. So, I mean, there's definitely opportunities there for us, you know, playing as a counter-attack with the defence they have. So, just hope we get it right. You know, it'd be a sickener after the run we've been on if we were to give these a win, because they are poor, like you said, and they can be got at. But mentality is a big thing. You'd like to say we've turned the corner in terms of that mindset, not win one game and then lose two and then win another and lose three and then just get too high and get too low. Hopefully we can, there'll be no complacency. The mindset will be right. We know what we're going into and we can just play off the confidence that we've been playing over the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Confidence. We're just brimming full of confidence now at the moment. So hopefully a win, and like Chris says, obviously don't lose would be the main thing. But I think we'll have enough, to be honest, to go and take the 3 points. Okay, boys, thanks very much for today. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the match. Talk to us next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.